Welcome into Show Me Today, the voice of Missouri. I'm Bill Pollack. The Girl Scouts have a new cookie. The selling season just started. Oh, it sounds good, too. Wait till you hear about that. The deadline to enroll in the health insurance marketplace is tomorrow. We'll help get you enrolled. And now, former Mizzou head coach Gary Pinkel joins us here on Show Me Today. Now, College Football Hall of Fame coach. That's got a nice ring to it, Gary.
Oh, my gosh. It's been overwhelming since this last Thursday. I've gotten probably 150 texts, you know, every 2 hours, you know, throughout the day, and videos, and guys, people calling me, and it's just been incredible. And it's there's so much about this, is a, and it's about what football is. Football is the greatest team sport because you got offensive guards that weigh, you know, the 6'3" and weigh, you know, 355, and you got wide receivers that weigh 140 pounds. They all got to do their role to win football games, and that's kind of what this is about. This is about all my players that played for me, all my coaches, Mike Alden, who I would not have come here without Mike Alden, to our trainer, to all the people, player development, the academics, and I can go all these systems we have in place. All of these people are part of Gary Pinkel getting this. And I thank them all for being a part of this with us.
Yeah. The announcement came out officially on Monday. It was leaked late last week. But so when and how do you find out about this? I mean, do they come to your door like a Publisher's Clearinghouse?
Well, you know, this is really interesting because I didn't talk to anybody that, you know, that I know some people that have got in the Hall of Fame, but I didn't really talk to them about it. And I won't tell anybody this either, but at the end of the day, what happened was, I think it was Wednesday. We got back from dinner, and there was a box up there. We took some stuff from the house. We forgot there was a box at the front door. So I wake up the next morning, go work out, and all of a sudden I say, oh, there's a box there. We didn't do it. So I took the box in the house. My wife's sitting at the kitchen right there. And I go in there and I just get ready to open up. She goes, oh, I'm going to take a shower. She goes back and we can take a shower. So I slice it down, and there was a football in it with an envelope right on top of it and a card right on top of it also. And the reason that wasn't a shock, that was a football, because a lot of people send me footballs to sign and I just send them back. Yeah. That's what I end up doing. And so what happened was I look at this card just down the bottom. I write it down so I can get it exactly right here. So this will be framed forever. It says, of the 5.54 million who have played and coached college football since 1869, only 1,038 players and 223 coaches have been inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. And that says, welcome to the club. And so I just start crying. I mean, I'm just not telling you. I was just sobbing, but close. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And then I thought, well, maybe one of my friends played a trick on me. So I said, if anybody played a trick on me, I'm going to blow their car up or something if they do something. But anyway, I go in because I don't know if it's true. I mean, so I go in, my wife's in the shower. I just walk in the shower. She thinks something wrong. So I'm crying. She goes, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I said, read this. And I handed her the card and she read the thing and she looked at me and she started screaming. And it was really, that's how they do it. Both athletic directors at Toledo and at Missouri, both of them found out when that box was put on my front porch. So they were 24 hours later would contact me. I mean, this isn't their first rodeo, obviously.
Right.
But that was as emotional a moment that I've had in a long, long time. And I'm so honored to be a part of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great story, too. Well, at least you live in a good neighborhood. You don't have any porch pirates.
Yeah, they might have stole my football.
That's right. Yeah. So you were nominated a couple of times. And, you know, you had said that, you know, you didn't really think about it much. But I'm not going to ask if you felt like you deserved it. But when you look back at your coaching days, are you satisfied with the results? Are you satisfied with what you did at Toledo and Missouri?
Oh, I don't think you're ever satisfied. You know, if you're a competitor like me, I mean, I know, you know, my first four games at Toledo were tough. Toledo was a really tough thing. Toledo was, I mean, was tough also. But Missouri also, for my first four games, I went three of the four by Toledo. Here, we're 1-3 after the first four games. And I knew, you know, what we're getting into. I knew how difficult it was. And I understood that this is going to be a long haul to get this thing done right. But we had a system in place to do it. I didn't come in here and ask the coaches how do you want to play offensive football, or how do you want to lift weights. Or I went in with bam, 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 bam. This is the way we're going to do it. Okay. And then we're going to always evaluate and try to make ourselves better. But at the end of the day, that's what we do. And so we're not sitting around trying to decide things. I knew, and that's because of Don James, my background with him. So I had a lot of confidence, especially when it was worked at Toledo. When you dropped it in here, although the league's much tougher and it was in a lot worse shape, we did the right things. And one thing that we did, but we got a lot of people in St. Louis, Kansas City, my first year or two here. We'd go in the homes and the parents would look at me and say, Coach, we've heard Missouri the last 15 years, 18 years, telling us how good they were going to be. And they all got fired. What's going to happen here? And so what I finally told him was this. I told him the truth. I said, you want to tell you the truth? Okay, I'm going to go back to 1972 when I was at Kent State University, played for a guy named Don James, okay? And a guy named Jack Lambert was on that right there, and a guy named Nick Saban was on that team too. We won the second year there, we won the championship, the only championship in the history of the school. So I take that Don James takes it from there that worked, and then right after the May 4th shootings too, to Seattle, Washington, went to 11. I was there 12 years, 11 Bowls, 12 years. 11 Bowl, I went to three Rose Bowls. He won the national championship year after I left. And so I said I get the head coaching job. So I take this program that worked at Kent State, that worked at the University of Washington. I pick it up and I drop it into Toledo, Ohio. And guess what? We were undefeated in 95. We won some championships, divisional championships. And at that time, why did it work there? Because the program worked at Kent State University, worked at Kent State University, worked in Seattle, and worked now in Toledo. And so what happened when I got here, all the frustration, parents, the first thing, we get beat all the time. You get beat all the time. I said, let me tell you the story. So I go through the whole thing. And I say, that's why we're going to win, because it's everywhere the program is gone, it's going to win. And that really helped us recruiting. It really helped us to take a deep breath, back away, and just let me tell you how it's going to get done. Is it going to be easy? No. But at the end of the day, because it was so important to get the Missouri players on board, the top players, that was so important. And with that kind of attitude by parents and the media and everybody else, we had to overcome all that stuff. And that's one of the ways that we did.
Gary Pinkel, newly selected for the College Football Hall of Fame, joining us here on Show Me Today. And you had mentioned that a lot of people told you don't take the job. You interviewed with Mike Alden. What was it about him that you decided, I'm going to make this move?
He was at Arizona State a little bit too, and I was at Washington. And he had great respect for Don James and what was going on there. He's down at Arizona State, and they're doing some good things, but Washington's kind of, they're doing it this higher level. And I knew that he knew something about it, that there's something special there. There's reasons why they win. They don't go out there just because they recruit well and clap and say, let's go. And a lot of teams do that. There's a systems in place to get it done and win. And so that was, to me, Mike Alden was, hugely important. And my big thing I told Mike was when I accepted the job, I said, there's going to be a time where I'm going to need you. You heard a job of 2 winning seasons, 17 years, we're going to have problems. And they were even worse than I thought. I mean, they were much worse than I thought. But I told Mike, I'm going to need you. There's a time I'm going to look at you and say, I'm going to need you here. I'm going to get my back here. And it happened. We went losing. Then we had a winning year, went to a bowl game, beat Nebraska at our place. And then that next year we went 5-7 or 6 and whatever it was at the time we were playing the 12 or 11 games, I'm not sure. But at the end of the day, we went backwards. And then the media's, right here, which they should. I mean, I don't blame them. We weren't playing very good, but we were close, and I knew it. And I went to Mike, and I said, Mike, this right after the season was over. I said, we're close. This thing's going to break. I guarantee it. And, reminded him of what I asked. I said, and it wasn't that he was going to threaten me. He wasn't, but I just wanted him to remind him that I'm going to need you to support me when it really gets tough. And at that point it was. And then the rest is history. The rest is absolute history. And 5 divisional championships, 4 of which we played in the championship games, which we didn't win. 2 or 3 of them we had played for the national championship, but we did. But we were in the top 15 for about 8-9 year period of time. We were top 15 winning teams in the nation. And I'm very, very proud of that. You know, I'm very, very proud of that program that we built.
Any former players that you've heard from that caught you by surprise that maybe you just haven't heard from in a while? I mean, I'm sure your phone's been
crazy. And you know what? I can't do it now. I can't. These players are sent. They're tweeting and I get copies of that because I don't do that. I had somebody do it for me. But I'm getting phone calls and messages and texts and just so nice and considerate and thankful to me. And it's hard to describe how much that means to me. That just means so much to me. That's why I tell you from the beginning, you know, this isn't about having a plan and going out and just winning. You got to go plan and you got to change people and people got to start changing. The next people come in, it goes on like this to build. That's how it happens. And they're saying so many nice things about me. I wish they'd have said those nice things when they were playing for me. That's probably what I tell them. I'll call them up on the phone and say, what the heck? What'd you wait all these years to do that for? So.
Gary Pinkel, newly selected for the College Football Hall of Fame, joining us on Show Me Today. And you talked about Mike Alden having your back. And I'm not saying this about the current administration at Mizzou now, but it just seems like it's gotten crazy. I mean, you were under the microscope when you were coaching. Do you think now if you had come into Mizzou and had 3 or 4 years where you struggled that they would have your back? I mean, it just seems like now you've got to produce and not just, you know, from administrations, but fans now. All of a sudden they have these expectations that, hey, within 2 years, we've got to be competing.
Well, to be honest with you, one of the things, there's so much money into it now. They don't want to hear about your problems. They don't want to hear that you got your starting quarterback hurt. They don't want to hear it. They don't. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, you're making, you know, $6 million a year and, you know, something doesn't go right and, you know, everything's okay. Well, it's not okay. You know, we expect you to overcome all that stuff. So I think there's that attitude out there. And that's just kind of where we've gone with all this stuff, you know, and the NIL and all the money's going in there and the portal and all the things that are happening in college football. But certainly facility wise, and it started with Mike Alden, but facility wise, they're doing great things with facilities. And South End Zone is a dream of mine and that got done. And now we're going to build a newer indoor facility and we're going to, but you have to do it. It isn't, should we do it? If you want to compete in that league, you got to do it. And we're doing the right things to do it. And so I'm excited. I want him to be so successful. But as I always tell people all the time, it's hard to win.
Yeah.
It's hard to win.
Yeah. There's so many things that can that can go wrong in the game. And yeah.
Oh, my God.
And you know that. I'm preaching to the choir, but yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that's why I had certain rules, things, you know, rules or standards. And one was, you know, don't ever complain that we lost a game because of officiating. Don't ever do it. I remember one game that we did against Iowa, you know, one day, it's the only time I came out publicly and then our league, the Big 12 at the time, came out and said, yes, we blew that call. We would have won the game. But we cannot come out of a game and say, well, gosh darn it, the officials would have done it right. We'd have won. We're not going to put our lives in those officials. So why don't we try to overcome officiating? No matter what they call us, how bad it is called, how about taking that kind of an attitude? We're not going to ever – we want to reduce penalties to help ourselves win. But we're never, ever, ever – you never heard one of my players or coaches ever complain about the officiating. They weren't allowed to.
Yeah.
We'll take responsibility for ourselves.
Yeah. That's a great –
you get me going here, I can just rap forever.
No, listen, hey, no, I love it. In fact, I wanted to pick your brain about what you think of these – coaches or just this thinking now of going for it on, you know, 4th and 3 on your own 30-yard line and going for 2-point conversions and a lot more being aggressive. I've thought of it. Listen, I'm an older guy too. I think I'm stuck in the old ways. I'm more of a conservative of take your points, play field position. You'll get another chance the way the ball moves up and down the field so fast. When you see these plays like that, you know, Las Vegas Chargers game the other night when the head coach for the Chargers goes for it on 4th and 1 from his 20. I mean, like when you see that stuff, what do you think? I think it's nuts.
Well, I think it's nuts too. I don't think how football's changed or anything in any way that has anything to do with it. I just think, you know, you'd be say, well, guts to do it. I want to look advantages for us. Are there going to times when you have to call a play like that? You know, there's probably going to be times with the clock when we have to do something special at certain times. But at the end of the day, you certainly look at percentages of odds, and you look where it would give your team the best shot in winning. And so, you know, it's great when it wins. You know, I always tell people it's a great call if it works. I tell people all that all the time. You know, the guy, that was a great call. And I say, you know why it's a great call? It worked.
Yeah.
If it didn't work, it wasn't a great call.
Right. Yeah.
So I've been there before 100 times.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's good. Did you ever regret a call? I mean, because I would think as coaches, you go in and you're making a call, not hoping it works, but you're going in with that probability that, yeah, we think this can work. Were there times where you're like,
you mean a call that I regret that I called? You mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a strategy moment.
Okay. Yeah. So this is what we did. Almost every single call we made, we talked about on Thursday, and I called it a Thursday checklist. Okay. And this part of our game day checklist, and what we're going to do on game day, and what's our best short yardage? You know, where are we percentage? What levels are we going to kick field goals? Where are we going to kick field goals? When are we going to go for it on fourth and down? These decisions in the calm discussion, analyzing personnel they have, schemes they have, let's make these decisions intelligently now in front. And 98% of the decisions were always made from that. And sometimes I had to make a call. It was one of those things where you got to coach, can I do it? You know, on either side of the ball. And you're going to have to do that sometimes. But you certainly statistically look in favor of you know, helping your kids. And we still would do that today. We wouldn't change that at all.
Now that you are a College Football Hall of Fame coach, what will this do for your GP Made Foundation?
Well, it's going really, really well. Yeah. It's going really, really well. You know, and to folks out there, you know, when I got to quit coaching, I miss my players and all that other stuff. I did that and more than anything, helping them. I just wasn't doing anything significant. I talks on teamwork and leadership was fine, but that's not helping kids. Because as we talked about from the beginning of this, we did the right things to help kids all the time. Help them be younger men and help them be more responsible. And at the end of the day, that's kind of what we do. And so our foundation just parallels into that. And that's what we do, help kids from high school down. And we help scholarships and we have grants and, you know, for kids with leukemia or lymphoma, grants for kids that come from really difficult backgrounds, grants for kids that have physical challenges. And so we raised $400,000 this year, you know, and we'll probably get above that next year as we set goals to do it. But most importantly, we're getting our monies out there to help kids. And that's kind of, I'm filling my time with that, play a little bit of golf. And most important thing right now, I get to do anything I want to do every day rather than living that remarkable schedule, which I loved when I did it for all those years.
Yeah, that's great. And obviously, people listening to this on radio, we're doing this over Zoom. I see video of you. You look great. Health-wise, doing okay, huh?
Yeah, I'm doing fine now. And, you know, you get I go to Mayo a couple times a year, and I'm doing really well at this point, and I can change at any time. It will never leave my system and my body. But I've been blessed. I really take care of myself. I always have, because my brother and sister, we talked about before.
Yeah.
And so I've always, you know, and so I'm blessed. And to all the people out there that have family or friends, or you have cancer, keep battling, man. Keep battling, because what's happening is we're winning the war. You have $50 to research, $100, whatever, for cancer research. We're winning the war because of that, because the doctors, and they're coming up with a different kind of medications that are making a difference every day. And it's getting better and better and better. So keep battling, fighting on, stay positive.
Yeah. What a great message, Gary. Congratulations. A great honor. It was fun covering you. It was great to see this.
Yeah, thank you too for having me on. It's been incredible since Wednesday. It's just been crazy. And I'm just so honored. And again, I'll end this with saying this isn't about Gary Pinkel. This is about all these people around me. And I always tell people, I've always been surrounded by good people my whole life. And now I got this football team, all these teams that we had for 15 years, and all these teams that these coaches that we had, and all those, we all worked hard together, and all the other perimeter people around that help. It's all for those people. I'll put them in a giant building so we can hug each other and praise each other and everything else. But I'm very honored to be the head football coach here, and I'm remarkably honored to be invited to the Coaches Hall of Fame.
Gary Pinkel, what a great visit. This is Show Me Today, the Voice of Missouri.